Okay, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, November 19th. Today we are reading from Chapter 7, Working with Others, page 100, the second paragraph. Today's readers are Leslie M., Stephanie L., and Jordan L. The reference number for November 18th, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 18,100. And the reference number for Friday, November 14th, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard meeting is 18,108. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Dori P. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Sherry and my fellows. Thank you for your service. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made the decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you so much, Dori. And I will now ask Linda B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Linda B. from Ontario, Canada, a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional. but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Linda B. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 100, the second paragraph only, and I will ask Leslie M. to begin our reading this morning. Thank you, Leslie.
Good morning, Sherry M. Thank you for your service. I am Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. But urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. You know, and I've heard this paragraph being talked about a lot this morning, you know, and I'm grateful for that. You know, but the thing that it brings up for me is you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. And I have to say that very recently, a couple months ago, I ended up getting into the middle of a quarrel between my nephew and my sister, and it ended very badly for me. The thing was is that I thought, you know, it says in the next thing, you will spoil your chance of being helpful if you do. I was invited into this situation as a buffer. And unfortunately, that blew up in my face. So I have found that I can't get in the middle of anyone's quarrels. I can't get in the middle of any situation. You know, I believe I've learned this lesson, although it may be repeated, I don't know. But I've learned that whether I'm invited in or I barge in myself, that getting in the middle of somebody else's argument is not a good idea. The other part of this whole situation was that I thought for a number of weeks after this whole thing occurred that I was right and my sister was wrong. However, something happened at about the midway point, and when I realized my mistake that I should not have walked in there, and so I wasn't being helpful to either party. You know, I thought I was being helpful to my nephew, but in the end, it didn't work out that way either. And so I'm grateful, you know, and I made my apology. You know, I have the program to work, so I know that. But the other thing that it says here is you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. And I have to remember that for myself in this situation, you know, that I am not ever going to be a perfect human being, that I am going to continue to make mistakes. And that's exactly what all the steps are about. You know, that I can now clear up my mistakes. I've cleared up my mistakes from the past, but I can clear up any mistakes that I make in the present. And that, you know, and this last sentence, you know, the blessed fact of his sobriety. So I am, you know, I am blessed to be a recovered compulsive overeater today. And, you know, and even though it may take me a while to see my part, my wrong in a situation, I when I see it, I can own it and I can move on from there. And I don't have to continuously, you know, think, well, why, you know, why isn't this different? Why aren't I better? Because those kind of, you know, it talks about that in the 11th step, that morbid self-reflection. I don't need to go there. It's simply that I'm human. I thought I was doing the right thing. In the end, it was not. When I saw that, you know, I made my amend. And that's all I have to share on this paragraph today. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for getting us started. Thank you very much. And now we're going to open it up. But although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take a line up now. Go ahead.
Kathleen O.
Star one. Mm-hmm. Kathleen O. Star one to unmute.
Betsy O.
Betsy O. Anyone else want to jump on this first list?
Dory P.
Dory P. That's Dory. We have Kathleen O, Betsy O, Dory P. Anybody else? Okay, well, let's get things started. Go ahead, Kathleen O.
Deborah G.
Thanks, Deborah. I gotcha. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you. This is Kathleen O, recovered in Northern California. So I think a challenging aspect with sponsees is not participating and taking the side of the sponsee when he or she has issues with family members. It's really easy to get caught up in the drama, but it's important to remind myself and someone I'm working with, you know, that our recovery is not contingent on relationships with family, with friends, spiritual advisors, sponsors. Our recovery depends on a relationship with our higher power, and that's what we need to keep going back to. You know, my favorite sentence in this paragraph is, you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight, and sort of like what Leslie was saying, you know, our character defects are never going to disappear. But I find that I practice them less frequently. And recovery really is about growth, and we will practice them less frequently, but they're never going to go away because we're human. So, you know, although things may be far from perfect, remembering that we are no longer face down in the food is huge. With patience, we do get to be happy, joyous, and free. That's part of our recovery. And if I can walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress, my higher power will always give me guidance and direction. That's what I need to keep asking for when things get tough. And they get tough, you know. Circumstances in life can be very challenging at times. And me putting myself in God's hands and having trust, things always work out better for me and my family. And, you know, we're told if we persist, if the person we were working with persists, remarkable things will happen. I think that was maybe in another paragraph, but you know, it's all about not quitting before the miracle happens. And I hear a lot of people say when they recover, their marriage gets better or their relationships get better. And for me, I do have to say my relationships outside my marriage got better. But unfortunately for me, you know, it didn't work out with me and my husband. But I recovered in the end. And I think without recovery, it would have been even more challenging. So, you know, if things don't necessarily get better, we can still recover. God has a plan for all of us. And, you know, being recovered isn't all puppy dogs, roses, and butterflies. But if we trust in our higher power and God's plan, eventually things will make sense in the end. I just have to make the choice to trust and rely on my higher power. And it's much better than the alternative. And I pass. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. And next we will have Betsy O.
Hi, this is, it's actually with two S's, B-E-S-S-I-E-O, from Colorado. And I was just kind of getting this nudge to share in this paragraph because I'm just reminded of, you know, being helpful. And, you know, I know this is written in the context of working with others, but I'm just reminded of it that, you know, this holiday is coming up. And I think it was about 5 years ago, I traveled to visit family and entered into a quarrel with my brother and father that, you know, it left, you know, I cried and my father kind of came to my defense and kind of like us against my younger brother and, you know, arousing resentment and jealousy. And then I see this, you know, blessed fact of sobriety. And what I'm reminded of is like what being helpful means and, you know, entering into that quarrel with the intention of being right was just, it was so damaging, you know. So it's just this reminder as I am preparing to be around my family next week about how I can be helpful, you know, because I am, you know, I am in a 12-step program and I might be, you know, the only example of a 12-step program. And it's not, you know, this approval seeking, you know, look at me and how good I am, but like this is just a reminder of, you know, of that purpose of bringing peace, you know, not participating, because there are so many highly, you know, like contentious topics that can come up in these gatherings of family that deep down, you know, we all have that love, you know, for one another. And how can I not destroy chances of being helpful? You know, and I really believe for me, it's not engaging in these quarrels or entering into these highly controversial topics where, you know, there can be this vying, you know, like about being right. And just really, you know, the other thing is just the blessed fact of sobriety, you know, and I know it's talking about, again, helping others, but I'm just like really having gratitude for my sobriety and showing up in a way where I can be of service. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say. So thanks for letting me share in this meeting. I pass.
Thank you so much, Bessie O. And next we're going to have Dory P.
Thank you. Good morning. Dory P. recovered in Atlanta. A beautiful day here. And what this paragraph brings to mind to me personally is what a fellow whose recovery I respect highly always says, that what we need when working with others is love and good information. And, you know, I look at the love as the how I work with another, so that love can be, you know, care or compassion or my patience, my honesty. And then the good information is the what I transmit, and that's in the book, so I don't have to, worry about that. It's all written in the book. But really, at least in my experience these days, I don't actually meet with my sponsee's family. So all my interaction, quote unquote, with them is through what my sponsee tells me about them. And there I have to find this fine balance between, I'm not a relationship advisor, I'm not a financial advisor, I'm not a nutritionist, because I don't have that expertise. These are all, you know, professionals who have that expertise on those topics. But when I look at this paragraph, what I see is how I as a sponsor, you know, or what I as a sponsor have to remember about my sponsee, that, you know, that I don't argue, that I don't quarrel because I might spoil my chance of being helpful, that I should, you know, always remember that just like me, you know, my sponsee has a disease and, you know, it's, you know, we are sick people. That her or his character defects, just like mine, were not going to disappear overnight. And then, you know, always show her that she's entering in that period of growth. And remember to be, you know, to be patient. And that's, you know, that's the last part of how you work with another, or how it's been in my experience. So that's what I wanted to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dori P. And before Deborah G. starts sharing, I just want to remind everybody, if you came in late, possibly today, we are reading from page 100, the second paragraph, when working with a man and his family. So after Deborah G., I will be taking another lineup. Go ahead, Deborah G.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, compulsive overreader, and thank you so much for leading the meeting and everyone that makes this meeting possible for all of us. And also all the shares have just been so wonderful to hear, and to keep reminded of, you know, other people's business is none of my business. You know, the bottom line with that is, you know, when I talk with a sponsee, now I can't think of, it doesn't mean I've never have in my life, but I can't think of a time where I've ever gone to a sponsee's family and talked about them or anything that's going on, because that's just none of my business. I have listened to sponsees tell me about things, and I think the most that I can do, the best gift and support is first of all, not get into the story of things, because the story just gets way out there and it's not helpful to anybody, and just guide them to a 10th step and do a 10th step, because I'm learning it's not about anybody else out there. It's about me. It's all about me. Whatever goes on out there is just going on out there. It's my view, my character challenges, the selfish self-centeredness and the dishonesties and just all that self that creates fears and all that is my stuff. Has nothing to do with anybody else. And so it's my work to clean that up myself. And so then in turn, helping others at that 12 step to help them clean that up so that they can get back in alignment with whatever that loving spirit presence is, whatever that is, so that they have a nice flow and they don't have those obstacles going on. And I think that life, I love this way of living, and I love to help others have this way of living. Because when I live like this, I'm not wanting to go to the food. These are all the things that I was looking for ease and comfort with food. You know, all that outside stuff, all that stuff that I never cleaned up within me was leading me to the food. And now I can be led to the steps. And I'm just so grateful that that's there. Thank you so much.
Sherry M., you need to unmute, please.
Oh, boy, they muted me. Thanks so much for letting me know. Okay, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share this morning?
Jody E.
Joan R.
Christy M.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Here's who I heard. Jody. Mm-hmm. Here's who I heard. Jody E., somebody R., Christy M., Jean F.
Joan R.
Oh, it's Joan. Okay, thank you. So I have Jody, Joan, Christy, Jean. Anybody else? Okay, go ahead, Jody. E,
thank
you're
you,
up.
Sherry.
Thank you, Sherry. Good morning. My name is Jody E., and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic in California. So this paragraph makes me think that of Al-Anon, actually. If I'm working with a man or a woman in Overeaters Anonymous, if I'm in touch with their family, I can urge them to go to Al-Anon because we have Al-Anon today. We don't have an O-Anon that I'm aware of, unfortunately, but we do have Al-Anon, and it can work for friends and family of compulsive overeaters if they just do the translation, like we do here with this book. It also makes me think that one reason why Al-Anon voted in their World Service Business Conference some years ago to no longer include the Big Book in their conference-approved literature is because of sentences like these. We should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. In Al-Anon, there's a different message. We don't coddle the addict. We don't tiptoe around them. We work our own program. We recover, recover, recover. And just as we need to recover, recover, recover for our loved ones, we also encourage the family to do the same thing. So that's what this paragraph brings up for me. Thank you.
Thanks, Jody E. I don't know what that background noise was, so apologize for that. And next we will have Joan R.
Good morning. This is Joan R. from Oregon. And this is really a wonderful passage for me this morning and for all those who have shared so far. What is the blessed fact of his sobriety, and that speaks to me about keeping my sobriety, especially with food first, and then this idea of going into the family gatherings and even other group gathering, what higher power is really showing me that keeping sober allows me to spend more time in sober reflection on my defects, living in 10, 11, and 12 in my prayers, and in my working with others. So with that, yesterday, and I'm really just beginning to, I heard, and I'm working 301. I've had an OA, OA vision sponsor for a while. And yesterday I was at a luncheon restaurant with my friends, and there was a big pile of something sitting in front of me. And, I was tempting for my mind to think, that this was okay. But what helped me was the word serve. Look around, see how I can serve these wonderful people with me. And I did not pick them. And so that's the miracle of this program. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Joan R. Christy M. is next.
Hi, this is Christy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, anorexic, and compulsive overeater in Oregon. And I feel like this paragraph is important for me. Part of my disease is perfectionism, of not having a ton of grace for myself or others, and the way that shows up as being really critical. And what I've learned in this program is about acceptance, that acceptance not only of like ourselves and our own defects, but of others is the start of our program, is to learning to accept life on life's terms. And I think I came into this program thinking A plus B equals C. If I do the steps, if I show up to enough meetings, then C is going to be perfect. So I'm going to have a perfect program, and then like all of my character defects are going to go away. And that's, I just thought it was going to be this recipe, and if I put in the exact ingredients, then I was going to get exactly what I wanted, which was being perfect, right? And that's how like my character defect and my disease was already showing up in the program. And if I, one of the things I've learned is just about myself, and kind of like they said, these character defects don't go away overnight. And that's how I really wish step four would have worked for me, is that I would have just, you know, gone through my inventory, told them to my higher power, then my higher power would have waved a magic wand and just taken all of my character defects away. But like, that's never going to happen, right? Like, some of these things are just daily work. That's the daily work of the program. So some of my character defects in step four was just learning to accept my own defects of character and understanding that, you know, the way those are lifted and the way those are dealt with are by my higher power and my higher power's time and my higher power's way, not the way that I would want them. And part of taking our own inventory and focusing on ourselves is also having grace for others, is that, like, it's not realistic that we're going to show up to OA and then do the steps and, like, we're going to be perfect all of a sudden, or that we're not going to have any character defects. That some of these things that have been rooted in our personality take a long time for our higher power to work through. And likewise, when I can start to have acceptance for myself and grace for myself, that helps me recognize that I need to have grace for other people. Like, other people in program, other people not in program, like they have character defects too, and they're working through their stuff with their higher power, and their stuff's not going to be gone overnight, you know, and some people don't even want to deal with their character defects. So I think especially when we're supporting someone in recovery, it's important to just trust, you know, like their higher power's working with them on their journey.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you. I'll wrap up. You know, it's not my timeline, and it's not the way I want it. It's really our higher power's timeline. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Christy. And Jean S. is up next, and then we'll be taking a new lineup. Go ahead, Jean.
Good morning. This is Jean S., a recovered compulsive overeater from Utah. And the couple of sentences that speak to me right now are, you should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he's entered into a period of growth. Somehow that reminds me of what I heard earlier this morning in meditation, a quote from a spiritual teacher that says, suffering is the sandpaper of our incarnation. It does its work of shaping us. And as I compare that, I can see that our defects of character, the big book also calls it our ego. This spiritual teacher calls it our suffering. But that this is they won't necessarily disappear overnight. But there's a but there in my mind, that it's the period of growth where those things will start to shape and shift. And in one sense, isn't the God of our understanding the sandpaper of our incarnation, as the other quote says? And we are truly being shaped and changed. And this is divine work. The big book is divine work, and I'm grateful for it. And with that, I'll say pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean. We will now take a new lineup. So who would like to share this morning?
Irene B.
Beth.
Irene B. Beth.
Beth mm-hmm. P. from Hawaii.
Okay.
Kathy Z.
Kathy Z. Okay, I have Irene B, Beth P, Kathy, I think it was V or B, and then who else? I think we have time for another one after that. Okay, well, let's start with these. Irene B, go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. Irene B, gratefully recovered bulimic from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So grateful to be recovered from bulimia, but I'm not recovered from self-hatred. And the biggest quarrel that I have is with me. And I'm so grateful for the timeliness of this passage, because my family came from out of town to visit, and there have been so many quarrels, and I'm right smack in the middle of it. And I just said, I'm not taking sides. But I guess there's a small part of me that is kind of taking sides and kind of taking other people's inventories. And that's none of my business. That's really none of my business. My business is relieving myself from the self-hatred. I heard somebody share in the earlier meeting that there needed to be some neuron reconnection. And that's what seems necessary for me, because the path to self-hatred is so ingrained. And the buildup of human emotion that I have comes from my self-hatred and from my thought life, and the food is just a symptom of the problem. And when I get in the middle of people's quarrels, I'm playing God, and I'm all over the place because my brain is all over the place. But I wanted to share that because for me, the realization that I did not only have a sense of worthlessness, but I also have a sense of self-hatred, that is fundamental for my recovery, because the food is down, but the self-judgment and self-hatred is not. And, you know, right now I want everybody to be mad at my husband because he's a liar. Because he's been leading a double life. He's been living with another woman for 4 years in Columbus, Ohio, living with her during the weekend, coming home with me on weekends. And it's like, how can you not take sides? Well, you know what? You don't. I don't, because, you know, and I try so hard to see my part in it. Oh, my gosh, I blame myself for his bad behavior. Give me a break. Give me a break. Anyways, I just wanted to say who I am, where I am, what I'm going through, and by the grace of God, I've not picked up. And for that, I'm grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene, for sharing. And Beth P., you're up next.
Thank you so much. This is Beth P., recovering compulsive overeater in Hawaii. And this paragraph, the way I relate to it is not necessarily through trying to talk to a sponsee's family. I have never done that, but sponsees have talked to me about their family members. And I admit I have engaged in that a bit. It's like kind of my old girlfriend script. I used to get in a lot of conversations with women about other people and how to change them or control them. And that's part of my own codependency. And so now when I speak to a sponsee, I need to invite higher power in first thing. You know, before even getting on the phone, I need to pray and connect with my higher power, and that God's will come through me for, you know, the highest purposeful interaction that I can have with this person. And if they want to start talking about their family members and, you know, kind of get off topic, which is about their recovery, and see how other people are getting in the way of their recovery, then I just gently guide the conversation back to the only person that we can do anything about, which is ourselves. You know, sometimes I have to plug that into the serenity prayer. It's to grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. And, you know, even in a relationship, as far as character defects go, you know, my sponsee's family members probably have character defects that they're acting on as well. And to look at the loving intention behind the action has been very helpful for me in that there's usually some kind of loving intention, even though it may not come out that way or be perceived that way. But when I can drop into a place of compassion and empathy and understanding for other people's pain and suffering and how they may feel the need to control people, then it helps me come approach a situation with an open heart. I might have heard a time warning, but I'm not sure, but I will go ahead and pass with that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. You had 10 seconds left. Thanks, Beth. Kathy is up next.
Hi, everybody. I hope you can hear me. This is Kathy Z from Washington State. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And I'm extremely grateful for this meeting every day that is in my recovery and to hear the recovery and the strength and the wisdom and the God-driven support on this line. I just love everyone here on Vision. And I didn't get a chance to hear the reading this morning, and so my comment is basically on what I've heard other people share. And I just, you know, the character defects that I have, even though the food's been down for 2 years, those defects are still ingrained in a part of me. But the more that I lean into God, the more, you know, I'm being basically stripped of some of those character defects, but some of them are still lingering and they're still causing me pain more than they're causing other people pain. And I'm starting to learn that, that I'm causing my own drama. And that something I heard last night that was so powerful to me is that my God is not interested in changing the circumstances of life that are happening and that will continue to happen because life happens. He's more interested in changing me. And the only way he can do that is if I submit my will to him every day and I surrender all of my problems, my worries, and my concerns to him. And so now I'm not turning to the food when I hurt and when I'm struggling. I'm turning to him and his wisdom, and I'm turning to my fellows, and I'm doing 10 steps and just asking to see how he's working in my life to change me and to grow me into the person he wants me to be. Because now I know deep in my heart that he has plans for me. There are things that he wants me to do in this world to serve other people, and he's just preparing me to do that work. And I feel like I am doing that work every day, even though I'm going through some of my own stuff. But my own stuff I'm going through because of me. And he is changing my attitude and changing my defects, and I'm so forever grateful for that in my life today. So everyone have a blessed weekend, and thank you so much for letting me share, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Kathy Z, and you have a great weekend as well. We have time for another share. Who would like to go?
Hi, this is Tom from Compulsive Reader from Anaheim, and I just want to say I thank you very much for the reading and for making my commute into a rather stressful job a blessing. So thank you. Have a great weekend, good people.
Thank you so much, Tom, and welcome. We're glad you're here. Does anybody else want to share on this paragraph that we read today? Star one to unmute.
This is Sheila. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Go ahead. I didn't hear your name though.
Okay, Sheila in Florida. Sheila B.
There you go. Thanks, Sheila. Go ahead.
Here I am. All right. Yeah, so I was looking at the paragraph, and I just kind of put myself in that position about me being that person and the family, me being that person and the family. And having to, I just in that situation on yesterday, I'm actually at work, was at work, and, you know, someone offered me something, and I said no. I had my food planned for the day, and I wasn't part of it. And they got, what? And it's like they got, you know, they got their feelings hurt. you know, they were something. So I did. I had to go to them and just, you know, let them know. You know, the way I put it is, you would do better not to get offended if I say no to you if you offer me food, because I plan what I'm going to eat ahead of time, and so by the time I get here today, I eat what I've already planned. And so if you offer me something, chances are I'm going to tell you no, and so choose now not to get offended by it. And so she found, you know, and I mean, I've been at the job long enough for them to see, you know, even in relapse, I snuck and did that. So in front of them, I mean, I'm eating abstinently now, but in front of my coworkers, I had a very clean eating. And so I've had a track record with them where I've had a track record with them where they know that Sheila really doesn't eat a lot of, she doesn't eat extra stuff with us. And so, but for whatever reason, this particular person, I just needed to remind her again. It won't serve you well to get offended if I say no, because this is all I'm going to eat. And chances are, no offense to you, I'm not going to eat your extra food that you offered me, even if you want me to taste it, even if you want me to whatever. So that's kind of how I just internalized that, as if I'm that person who needs to talk to other people on my behalf and my family as well. That's all I'll say right now. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Sheila. We appreciate you sharing. And we're just about out of time. I don't think we have time to share, so I'm going to go ahead and close the meeting. Thanks, everyone, for a great meeting. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yeah. Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L., recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.